All right, Acts chapter number 2 tonight, Acts chapter number 2, and we look forward to seeing what God has for us this evening, and I want to give us some pretty basic things, if I could say it like that, but very helpful things to us to remind us of, and I'm going to talk about the church tonight. Last Sunday morning, I preached a message on the church. If you weren't here, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. If you were here, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it again. And look forward to in 2026. And while I was away in this time of year, I always spent a lot of time getting ready for the new year. And so I've got a few series that I'm getting ready for next year. And one of them is on the church. I've got several messages, lessons on the church so that we understand what God has established as His church. And I'm just trying to determine if I want to make that a Sunday school series, a Sunday series, a Thursday night series, or we'll just start on January 1 and we'll just go until I'm done and just not go home. Well, however we want to do that. But certainly burdened about the church and what God has said about the church. And we want to be faithful. And I believe there's more for us to do as a church. And so Acts chapter number 2, let's look with me at verse number 41. And we'll read down through verse 47. I'm going to ask you to keep your Bible open here, and we'll refer to this passage of Scripture tonight. And again, if you've been here any length of time at all, I've preached from this passage very often. And so we're referring to it once again. And so some of this will be review, but it's good for us. There's a reason why we review, and we have those foundational things that we can build on top of. And so tonight we'll look at some of those things. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And I remind you, verse number 42, goes along with our Sunday school revolution and just the purpose of the church. It didn't get downloaded when they got saved. When they went under, immersed in the water, baptized, it didn't get seep into their ears, and they knew all the doctrine. No, there is teaching, systematic teaching of that doctrine. Verse 43. So you don't get your doctrine off of YouTube. You don't get your doctrine from Tucker Carlson or any other political commentator. You don't get your doctrine from them. Be careful even getting your politics from them. But you don't get your doctrine from them. It's the local church's responsibility to teach and instruct doctrine. So therefore, it's important what church you go to. But this church is fun. But do they have doctrine? Well, they do. Do they have the doctrine? It's important, Mom and Dad. Don't get frustrated with your kids. We have several children in the service tonight. And at some point, and I shouldn't say this because it's everybody's going to look at it. At some point, somebody's going to need to go get some fresh air. Don't get discouraged by that because you're training your children to hear the Word of God. And they pick up more than you think. But it's important. Why don't we have a kids service on Thursday? Because I've seen those options. They need to hear the Word of God. And so that's a little bit why. Let's finish the text. Where are we at? Verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and all the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Tonight I want to be very simple, and I've got seven statements I want to make, but I want to talk about the marks of a healthy church. The marks of a healthy church. Father, help us tonight as we are reminded of some things. Are reminded of what's important, the priority. And Father, I pray that as we go through these things, we'll just be reminded as a church what a privilege we have, what an opportunity we have, but also make sure that we're being accountable to your word and our focus is what it should be. Bless your people tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We often measure health by activity. When it comes to the church, it's like how full is the calendar? is the church growing? Or what are the facilities like? We often misjudge the health of a church, whether it be healthy or it's sick, by some of those things we see. But as with a human body, a church can appear alive yet be spiritually sick inside. A healthy church isn't defined by its busyness, but by, if I can use the word balance, which sometimes gets overused, but it has doctrine, it has fellowship, in outreach, soul winning, evangelism, working together in harmony. There's a misnomer out there that in order to be doctrinally sound, and in your church to be doctrinally sound, you have to give up something. And we can't be soul winners. Or if we're soul winners, we have to be shallow doctrinally. We're a healthy church. We have doctrine. We have fellowship. We are growing as Christians in our discipleship, and yet we are still trying to win the world to Christ. And so Mike can hang our hat on a string and say, well, we have this in order, but a healthy church is able to do it all. Just like with the physical body, there might be some things that you are able to do, but there's something you're not able to do physically, that's not ideal. We want to be able to do it all. Now, with the church, we don't have to sacrifice doctrine for fellowship. Well, we just want to, we need to have that fellowship. We have fellowship every Sunday morning. We break bread every Sunday morning. What are you talking about? Sunday school. We have our fellowship every Sunday morning. We have pumpkin pie every year. I mean, look at that. But what we get with that, it allows our carnality to come out and say, I want fellowship. By the way, you should have fellowship at church. If you slip in when the church starts and you slip out in the final amen, you are robbing yourself. God created you. You need fellowship with other Christians. Well, there's an Acts Sunday School activity. I just don't know if I feel like going. Go. Well, it may not be fun. Your house ain't fun. And you're there. You know, go anyway. You might make a friend. You might meet some. Matter of fact, you might keep somebody else from going if you go. I mean, who knows? But go be a part of that fellowship. We can't have doctrine. We can't have fellowship. We don't have to have dead services to be doctrinally sound. And we don't have to be hanging from the rafters to have evidence of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have one or the other. In fact, if we're healthy, we're supposed to have them all. It's our doctrine that compels us to go soul winning. It's our fellowship that causes us to keep, we have to keep the right doctrine so that we can have fellowship. The services, we need them to be the way they're supposed to be, edifying and strengthening. It takes doctrine to do that. It takes fellowship to do that. There's nothing keeps a church atmosphere exciting like new people getting saved. Well, you can have it all. So tonight's just a good reminder for us to say, okay, as Emmanuel Baptist Church, are we healthy? And sometimes we might say, well, you know, have you noticed that every time we have a special guest at the conference, they make fun of our building? They make fun of it. I'm tempted when we build to just to build a bigger version than this. You know, they're just poking fun, but, you know, it doesn't matter the shape of the building. It matters what goes on inside that building. We know that. We've had church in a tent. We've had church under oak trees. I mean, we've had church in some places that we just rather not talk about, but we've still had church because it's not the facilities. Now, I like facilities, and we need more facilities. But it's not all about that. You can misjudge a church. Say, look at everything that God has done for them. Doesn't mean they're healthy. So we want to maintain a balance. You as a Christian, you as a part of Emmanuel Baptist Church, are you a healthy church member? Are you a healthy church member? So, well, my church just said, no, you're part of what makes it balanced. You ought to read your Bible, you ought to study your Bible, you ought to know your Bible. But if you're going to be truly a healthy church member, you should be fellowshipping. Because part of that fellowship is where you can communicate some truth, where iron can sharpen iron. Well, I just want to be in the Word. Well, you know, you can be a witness too. You don't have to witness like somebody else witnesses. You're just supposed to be a witness. You may not be able to do what somebody else can do, but if you're healthy, you have all the marks of what God intended for His church to be. Sometimes we say, well, my church is just struggling. Think about what you're saying. You're in the church. So why is it struggling? Well, it's not me. Okay, let's break that down further. How do you know it's not you? Have you prayed every prayer you can pray? Have you witnessed every person you can witness to? Have you read the Word as much as you could read the Word? Have you given everything you could give? See, we have to constantly self-evaluate. And by the way, I'm not even in the introduction yet. By the way, don't get caught up in what somebody else thinks about your church. We only care what God thinks about our church. Oh, well, you're one of those churches. You mean a Bible church? Yeah, that's who we are. A soul-winning church? Yeah, that's who we are. This Sunday, I was with my wife and one of my daughters after the morning service. We went to get something to eat. And it may or may not have been the Mexican restaurant. We were getting something to eat. And I noticed, I'm fairly observant, I noticed as we sat on the table here, the booths in the middle, there was four sitting there, and an older man was, he caught my eye. And, you know, used to, if you go to a restaurant and you're not dressed for church, people look at you. Now, if you're dressed for church, people are like, oh, yeah, it's Sunday. They were dressed. They could have been to church. And as we were finishing our meal, he got up and came over to me. And my wife and daughter had gotten up, and they had already left, and I was waiting to pay the bill. Imagine that. And he came over to me, and he says, y'all look like godly people. Now, it wasn't lost on me that he didn't come over and say that until my wife and daughter got up and left. But, you know, I wasn't going to say that. And I said, well, thank you for that. He says, who are you affiliated with? What church? I said, with Emmanuel Baptist Church. He's like, Emmanuel, where's that? So I told him where it was. And he says, okay. He says, he commented something and somehow came out. And so I said, who are you affiliated with? And the gist was, he's another one of these, I'll call them old-timers, who used to have a church, but the church changed, don't have it, and he's trying to get something started in his house. And I said, well, you ought to come see us. And he said, he's like, well, how many of y'all have? So I told him about what we're running on Sunday, and he said, wow, that's a good-sized church. And I said, well, God's been good to us. And then Sunday night, he said, we have Sunday night service. We have a midweek service. You'll still have that? He says, I might have to go see that. You say, Pastor, what's the point of that? I want y'all to know that I have a godly presence. That's the point of that. No, it matters. It wasn't necessarily me he was impressed with, although your testimony does matter. But you still have a church like the churches we always knew about. And he said this. He said, did you send some young people into my neighborhood yesterday? And I'm like, it depends. On what did they do in what neighborhood? So he told me the neighborhood, and I'm pretty certain it was where we had a group going through. And he had obviously gotten an invite, and he said it was impressive. You can have it all when it comes to Scripture. You can have it all when it comes to the things of God. We're supposed to have it all. Now, the problem is sometimes we pursue things that God says are not important to us as a church. And so there's that balance. Are we healthy? So I want us to look at that tonight, and I'll move quickly through these points as quickly as I can. But I want you to be thinking about our church. We have a responsibility to have it be healthy from God's perspective. And then part of that is, how healthy are you as a member of the church? Spiritually healthy, are you out of balance? Now you say, Pastor, I can't do in this area what I... God knows what you can do. The point is, are you doing what you can do? That's the whole point. We don't get caught up comparing ourselves to what somebody's doing. Are we doing what we could do? Okay, let me give you the first mark, the first sign of a healthy church. Number one, a healthy church is built on the Word of God. We see it in Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Where did they get the apostles' doctrine? They got it from Christ. What is our doctrine? Our doctrine is not of the Catholic Church. Our doctrine is not of Joseph Smith. Our doctrine is definitely not of Muhammad. Our doctrine is not of Mary Baker Eddy, or any. Our doctrine is not of any political figure. Our doctrine is from the Scripture. There's no Baptist hierarchy that tells us what we are to believe. We have gotten off track, I believe, in some things because we have followed even Baptist tradition, not Baptist doctrine. We don't stray from Baptist doctrine. But there's some Baptist traditions that we've put above Baptist doctrine. But they continue steadfastly. The early church was not built on personalities. Can you imagine this group of disciples, apostles? John the Beloved, Peter, Andrew, James, Paul. There's a lot of personality in there. Paul even had to address it. Hey, it's not about our personality. And by the way, God will use your personality. But it's not about that. It was never built on that. And that's the problem with false doctrine and these cults. They're built on personalities. The early church has not been on programs, preferences, but the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. If we preach and teach doctrine, our philosophies will be right. Our programs will be right. See, a church that compromises the truth to attract the crowd is spiritually sick. No matter how full the pews are, say, well, Pastor, they did this and they're growing. No, don't confuse that. They're swelling. Because a dead cow on the side of the road swells. But it's still dead. And if you leave the Word of God, you might say we're growing. No, you're swelling. Sound doctrine, I'll just give you a reference. Ephesians 4:14 keeps the body of Christ from being infected spiritually. A healthy church teaches truth. It doesn't worry about the trends. If we want a strong church, the pulpit must be doctrinally sound. Must be doctrinally bold. The people must be students of Scripture. You should want a pastor that's bold in what we believe. But don't depend on that. You ought to be a student of the Word of God yourself. And if you were saved out of another religion or denomination and you're used to a man in a dress telling you what you believe, I will preach the Word of God, but you ought to have the Word of God in your hands. And what I say, you're following along. I say, that lines up. That lines up. But you also ought to be a student of it between Sunday and Sunday. Because aren't you thankful when you come to church and God has laid something on your pastor's heart and he preaches it and you say, wow, that was just what I needed. It was there the whole time. I just never saw it that way. Boy, praise the Lord for that. Don't you enjoy that? Okay, more of you should be saying yes. But you know he'll do that for you on Monday. You'll be reading something and be like, the Holy Spirit will discern something and be like, that was been there the whole time. How come I've never seen it before? Number two, a healthy church practices loving fellowship. We said number one is build on the Word of God. Number two, a healthy church practices loving fellowship. in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, I probably will when I get into that series take more time on fellowship. But fellowship is not just social gatherings. Well, we want to hang out. We're just fellowship. No, it's spiritual partnership in purpose. There's a difference. We want more fellowship. Well, how about we go make some visits together for Sunday school? That's fellowship. How about we exchange prayer requests over some coffee before in the Sunday school hour? That's fellowship. Why don't we come out to a work day? Why don't we come to a ladies' meeting? Well, that's just gossip. That's not fellowship. Scratch that. But it's sharing in common. They shared burdens. They shared blessings. They shared mission. Some get to a place, this will help you if you'll let it, they'll get to a place where I just don't feel like I fit. It's because your fellowship is wrong. My personality, that has nothing to do with fellowship. It's joint mission. I use the illustration all the time. This is a collection of people that if it wasn't for Christ, we'd have nothing in common with one another. But yet we can all get along and we can all have a purpose because we have that, we can fellowship because we have a shared mission. If you get on board with the mission, that's why there is the church is going in one direction, one mission, so that we can fellowship together. Well, we need to do more. I'm okay with pumpkin pie fellowships. I'm okay with class activities. Those are good. But the real fellowship comes into how close did we feel as a church when that conference was over? We were tired, but we felt good. The same thing happens every year. You get to be about Wednesday, and it's like, Pastor, I'm tired. Go over to the food tent. I'm tired. One more day, everybody. One more day. And then Thursday night when it's over, I can't get any of you to go home. Because we were working together for a common cause. That's fellowship. We come out and we're closer. If you want to be closer to your church family, find that place where you can join somebody in the common cause. Well, I can't go walk down the street and knock on doors. Can you sit in the car and make a visit? We can do something together. Fellowship builds unity. It fuels the mission. It's not just, we're different, and this is going to help you understand. I'm never going to get through with this. I'm just going to help you understand why we are different than the average church. Not that we're better, but I believe we're healthier. And it's because it's not just about how many attend our services. I want this building full. Remember we had to have 3 services a Sunday? And it about killed your pastor? I don't want to go back to that, but I want us to be able to fill this thing up 3 times on a Sunday morning. I said, what would we do? Don't worry about that right now. What am I saying? I want the attendance. I love to see the attendance grow, and it's growing. I love to see that. But I'm not going to sacrifice my Sunday morning attendance for the health of my people. Well, we could have more on Sunday if we didn't have a midweek service, but we would be more anemic spiritually. Well, we could work harder on Sunday morning if we didn't have Sunday night service. We need that Sunday night service to help us spiritually. It's not just about how many people. I can tell how healthy the service is by how we're doing as a church. By when I dismiss, you're over there and you're complaining, and pastor's going long tonight. Just hypothetically, if I ever went long. But then I dismiss and you hang out here for 45 minutes. So I might as well keep you in here and give you some profit from it. What's good? You want to see one another. You want to be around one another. The health of the church is just how full is that tent for pumpkin pie fellowship. Not because we all want pumpkin pie, but because we want to be with one another. It's not just the Sunday morning attendance. It's our fellowship. It's our common cause together. We can tell the health of a church by the midweek service crowd, by the soul winning crowd, by the workday crowd. Number three, a healthy church is committed to prayer and worship. When I say prayer and worship, I'm not talking about a quote unquote worship service. Because you're supposed to worship. We need a worship leader. You can't be your own worship leader. You're supposed to be. Now, when we sing the songs unto God as a church, that's worshiping Him. When that offering plate is passed, we say, oh, I don't have a worship service. Well, let's take another offering. That's worship too. Well, not that kind of worship, Pastor. That's worship. When the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart through the message and you respond to it, that's worship. When you humble yourself and acknowledge who He is, you're worshiping Him. But you should have your own private worship. It is healthy when we're committed in prayer and worship. Verse 42 again. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. There's the fellowship, then there's the prayer, and with the prayer, which is the heartbeat of a healthy church. That prayer connects the body of Christ to the head of the body, the head of the church. That prayerful worship aligns our hearts with God's heart, keeping us humble and grateful. Some of you may not understand this, but if you think about it, the Lord will help you with it. These modern day worship services where we live, I feel so lifted up. That is a complete contradiction to the word worship. We have the most worship in the song service when we're singing those songs and it just smotes us because it reminds us of what we were when Christ found us. Worship never elevates us. And oh, I just, you know, and sometimes I do want to stand and just say, praise God. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, some of you ought to do it. I don't get upset when somebody says amen. I don't get upset when somebody gets helped and blessed. I don't get upset about that. But if you don't do it when it's just you and God, you need to evaluate that. Man, some of those things, the choir singing, and boy, sometimes I want to say, sing it again, but I know how long I'm going to preach. I hear the special coming and say, man, I want to hear that song again. Man, it does something to my heart. And sometimes I'm trying to focus on the message and I'm like, man, I'm getting helped. I'm getting blessed. That's good. But I just take an inventory tonight. Do you need somebody to get up and sing for you to worship your God? We need to get, it's in the spirit of that. You mean you and God's Spirit and His Word? You can't get into that atmosphere? You can. If you start talking to Him, I was teaching our teachers the lesson for this coming Sunday, and I talked to them about that worship in thanksgiving. It's how many times. You know, some of the sweetest prayer moments I have is not when I go to God and I say, God, I need this and I got to have this from you and you've got to intercede. And those are wonderful times because they're cleansing times because you can just put it all on God. But the sweetest times where it's like, God, you know what I need. I don't even want to talk to you about that. I just want to talk to you about you. And I just want to thank you for being so good to me. But that's prayer and worship. So I just got to get in the spirit. Start thanking Him. Start thinking on Him. It aligns our heart with God's heart. Prayer is an element we have to have. Let me make one more statement. I'll move to number four. If we spend more time talking about the work of God than actually talking to God, our church will not stay healthy. Prayer fuels everything. That's why, please don't minimize the fact, maybe you don't have the health or the time to get out and do what others can do. Maybe, you know, and I believe God does this. I believe God changes health. I believe God changes circumstance because He wants some people to pray more while some are going. Sometimes we look at that and it's like, I can just pray. We ought to repent of that attitude and spirit. Because that's the fuel. That's the fuel. I'm not the match. I'm not the spark. I'm just a bucket of gasoline. Well, we need the gasoline for the fire to get big. We need prayer for God to do big things. A healthy church, number four, lives in a holy fear and awe. Acts 2:43, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. They live with a reverence for God. There's a lot of nonsense that goes on in churches in the name of God. There ought to be a reverence of God. We don't want to be so stuck on ourselves that we don't allow the Spirit of God to move in our heart, to move in a service. But there ought to be a little bit of reverence for it, for Him. See, when the church loses fear of God, it loses power. Some things that have become mainstream, even in independent Baptist churches, those that would call themselves fundamental, I'm too scared to do. You say, why don't you have a, and I probably, it's been a few years, I probably should teach on all this again at some point. Well, why don't you have those worship courses and a worship team? I'm too scared to. Because there ought to be a reverence to God. Besides the fact that if you study where a lot of those courses came from and the doctrine of the people who wrote them who aren't even saved by their own doctrine. So when they say a spirit came to me, it's not the Holy Spirit that came to them. It's a seducing spirit. I'm too scared to change my Bible. I'm too scared. This belongs to Him. This does not belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. We're part of His church, and it belongs to Him. You say, well, people would feel more comfortable. I'm only worried about God being comfortable in His house. You know, if I come home every day and everybody inside is doing everything, oh, we're trying to make you comfortable, everybody else who comes comfortable, but, you know, it's your house, but you'll just have to get over it. Eventually, I'm going to find a new place to go. Well, this wasn't in my notes, but it's good. It's a reverence for God. When the church loses its fear of God, it loses its power. So how can a church lose its fear of God? It happens all the time. All the time. A healthy church has conviction about holiness. Holiness is not a bad word. Well, why should we strive to be holy? Because we have a holy Savior. You know, I use this illustration often. You're not going to get to heaven and God say, you know, you really tried to be too holy. You know, many Christians, I call them loophole Christians, are always trying to find a loophole of why they can't be a better Christian or why they can't give more to God or why they're justified in living a certain way. There's no crown of having a loophole. We're not going to get to heaven and say, I spent too much time trying to be like Christ. No matter how close we are to God, when we get in His presence, we're going to fall on our face and wish we had given Him more. Because there's no comparison to man's holy living to a holy God. It's important. Don't ever get mad at your pastor for preaching on subjects that require holiness. Number five. A healthy church practices generosity and compassion. And by the way, let me go back to verse 43. When fear came upon every soul, what happened? Wonders and signs were done by the apostles. There's a reverence there. You got to have the reverence if you're going to have the move. But verse 43, a fear came upon verse 44, and all they that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. A healthy church practices generosity and compassion. They all that believed were together and had all things common. What does this mean? They met one another's needs sacrificially. This is not teaching socialism. Everybody participate. Everybody had the mindset of what I have belongs to God. They weren't forced to give. They wanted to give. There is a difference. If I ever put out needs of the church, we want to help our schools, we want to go on a missions trip, we want to do this, and you ever have the attitude, well, I feel like pastor's forcing me to give, the issue's not with pastor. Why do you not want to give? And if you say, well, that's just not my, well, you everything, every time there's a need that's presented, you ought to want to give to it. Whether you're able to or not, you ought to want to. And if you don't have the means to, you ought to say, God, give me the means to do that, and I'm going to, God, I'll do it. I'll sacrifice if you'll provide it. It's generosity. Pastor, wouldn't it be great if we had 3,000 saved? Wouldn't it be great if we turned the world upside down? Are you willing to sell it all and lay it at the apostles' feet? Pastor, get back to holiness and soul winning. Let's not. A selfish church is a sick church. Well, I'll give to missions when we get the parking lot expanded. Well, you're a sick Christian. I don't mean that in like a sarcastic, but, you know, unhealthy. We ought to put people first. The command of God first. We've had a rowboat ministry before on those rainy dirt parking lots. A generous church reflects the heart of God. See, when the Spirit of God fills the church or fills a Christian, stinginess disappears. If you and I are in tune with God, the Spirit of God has no problem communicating to you what He wants to do with generosity. And truth of the matter is, if we're all in tune with Him, we don't need to wait on the pastor to find what a need is. It's having that generosity and compassion. I'm going to move very quickly off that one. Is that okay? Number 6. A healthy church has joy. Verse 46 and 47, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Shouldn't we, like, lean more on what the early church experienced and accomplished than what Barna survey say? If you don't know what Barna is, it's church surveys that tell you what you should, other churches work in, so you should do it in your church. We probably should go to Scripture and then see how far away we are from that standard. You mean to tell me that they got saved, they're deep in Bible study and discipleship, they're inviting other people to get saved, they're serving, they're fellowshipping, they didn't just start a softball league, they are fellowshipping and getting people saved. And then they're selling and giving everything so that more people can get saved. Those had to be miserable people. Well, according to the Bible, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. So how can they have favor with all people? Because they were people who didn't just say they were something, they showed they were something. There's a lot of times Christians don't have favor with people because they have watched us say we're followers of Christ and we have not acted. It's a tragic thing when I can say the saved people have done me more wrong than lost people. When saved people have tried to destroy me and lost people haven't. And we wonder why we don't have favor many times. But they had joy. They're praising God. Maybe if we praise God, well, Pastor, if I had to go through something, I wouldn't praise God. We'll be able to praise God no matter where we are, what we're doing. A healthy church has glad hearts, sincere motives. Joy is contagious. You know, your grouchiness can be contagious too. It's either going to rub off on somebody else or you're going to find yourself sitting all by yourself. And I use this as a good time to use it again. It's like, we do not have a bucket ministry. So what are you talking about? Where some people, they have a bucket of cold water and they're just looking for somebody's fire. Somebody to be happy and say, oh, I'll be right there. Pastor, we need to be realistic. Now, how about we have some joy? How about we be happy? I mean, I've talked to my family and I don't know why they don't want to be saved. Look at you. And all you do is complain and be grumpy. Why would they want to be? We ought to have some joy. I'm not minimizing hard times. We've all had hard times. But did Jesus still die for you? Do you still have salvation? Is heaven still your eternal home? You can be happy about that. Joy is contagious. Makes the gospel attractive to a watching world. God added to their number daily because there was something that they had that was obvious that I don't have. You know how it would be? We would be more efficient and fruitful in our soul winning to our neighbors and our co-workers and our family members when they see we're excited about what we have and say, I don't have that. That person's had trials and tribulations and they're still praising God. They still have joy. They've been through troubles and they're still praising God. I want that. It's that joy. Number 7, the last one, we've already seen it, verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. A healthy church is always reaching the lost. True church growth is not man-made. It's at the Lord adding souls through the faithfulness of His people. Sometimes we might look at that and say, well, God just sends people. And God can send people. But why would He send people to a dead place? Why would He send people who are looking for something to a bunch of grumpy people? Now, these people had joy. Let me just lay it all out for you. Jesus had just recently been crucified. The same people who crucified Him are still in power. So when Pentecost came, read Peter's sermon. The average Baptist couldn't take Peter's sermon. And he is just blistering all those religious people. You crucified Him. He's defying the whole religious crowd. He's defying Rome. He's defying the authority. Jesus has risen from the dead. Then when they get saved, they get baptized. You say, oh, well, that's nice. Did they have the baptistry heated to a comfortable temperature? They had the robes there for them, and they scheduled a convenient time. No, they said, I want to identify with Christ in front of the people who crucified Him. I want them to know I am a believer and follower of Christ. I want there to be no mistake. Baptize me in front of all of them. I am branding myself. Knowing that in some cases they'd be ostracized. There was a lot of people that got kicked out of their church that day. They got booted from their religion. God doesn't just send them. It happened because there were some bold people trying to, in that upper room, they assembled, pray for the power of God to go win the very people that had caused them the pain and suffering. To put that in context, it would be the opposition political party. They would go try and win them. How would that shape out in America? Now we're trying to damn them to hell. Well, I'm meddling now, aren't I? But true growth is not man-made. Only the power of God can do that. And then a healthy church doesn't exist for itself, but for others. And I will push back on this. Part of my, just every once in a while, shaking things up a little bit is because if you get too comfortable, we get the mindset that this is for us and for nobody else. Well, Pastor, they're not quite up to par where we are. I'm not even sure what that means. But if you've had more chance to grow, we got to give the new Christian a chance to grow too. They need to have a, I welcome them in. Well, when they check all the Baptist boxes, we'll let them in. And which ones might that be? They were saved, baptized, added to the church. That's all I find in Scripture. They didn't get their lives all cleaned up. They didn't get all their bad habits gone. They didn't do all that. They had to grow. They didn't even know what was right and wrong. They had to be taught. That's why don't wait when somebody gets saved, baptized. When they grow a little bit, then I'll reach out to them. No. You embrace them now. You help them now. We're always reaching people. It's a healthy church. The Great Commission is the final test of health. If we're not reproducing, we're declining. Pastor, why the emphasis to reach people? Why the emphasis to grow? Being a little aggressive. Well, I mean, I think that's what God told us to do. Well, Pastor didn't have all these goals for 100 Sunday school classes. He wouldn't be pushing us to give. Well, the world is bigger than 100 Sunday school classes. We're told to reach the world. If we're healthy, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to, because if we're not reproducing, we're declining. You hear talk of this and say, this nation is not going to have, it's got a declining population. It's going to get past a point where eventually they're going to die off because they're not reproducing at the same rate they're all dying. That's the problem with churches. And we blame the Bible. We blame the old hymns. We blame holy living. No, it's because at some point we stop trying to reach the lost. Now, I want everybody to stay faithful. Let's stay faithful serving God as a church until Jesus comes back. Let's all stay right, do what we're supposed to do. I don't want anybody to leave. We need everybody on board with reaching the world with the gospel. But the truth of the matter is, people leave. People backslide. I'm not happy about that. But I'm not going to quit either. So, Pastor, what do? I go try and find somebody else. Well, you think they're that replaced? I'm not supposed to do anything but sit around and say, who else can I reach? Who else can I reach? Who else? It's a good reminder that not one of us dictates what the church survives or not. Because the church is doing what's supposed to do. If you get mad and say, I don't want to be here, we're just going to go find somebody else. Does that sound callous? That's what we're supposed to do. Well, I worked with somebody in my Sunday school class and they left. That hurts. It hurts when you invest in somebody and they fall by the wayside or they quit or they terminate. All that hurts. But it's like God told Samuel, said, quit crying and go find David. You can't do anything about Saul. Go find David. Anoint him, invest in him, and make him king. And that's what we ought to do. I close my Bible to make you think I'm done. A healthy church is one where the word is preached, the spirit is present, the people are united, the mission is clear, and the Lord is adding. The question we shouldn't ask is, how big is our church? Is how healthy is it? If it's healthy, it'll grow. Healthy things grow naturally. That's just the way it is. So we need to focus on what makes us healthy. You are not going to like every decision that I make. It's because you need to get that fixed. That's why. But here's, before you get mad and offended, because I started a ministry or I put an emphasis on something, ask yourself the question, is the Word of God being preached? Do I know more Bible by being here than before I came? That's the standard. But you hear it and you have conversations with people and you hear it's like people will leave from time to time and say, well, we missed the preaching. It's like, why'd you go? Well, we didn't agree with this. And you can't find a church that preaches the Bible. Is the Word of God preached? Is the Spirit of God present? Are people being saved? I'm the pastor and I don't agree with everything. I don't like everything. You say, what don't you like? I don't even know. I just know I don't like everything. You know what? Because I have different tastes than you do. I have different thinking than you do. I have different ideas of what color the carpet should be than maybe you do. Churches are split sometimes because of the color of the paint on the walls. And how dare the pastor spend $186.32 on paint without getting approval from the church. Silly things. But is the Spirit of God there? If the Spirit of God is there, okay, I can get on board with that. We all have to be united around that mission, and that's reaching people. I want to see people grow as a Christian. It thrills me as a pastor to see people saved and baptized. It was thrilling this past Sunday to see some who reached in our Sunday school revolution. They had never been to church before, but they came to get baptized. And that's awesome. That is awesome. But it's just as thrilling to me to see the people that God's using in Sunday school to see them grow. Man, as a pastor, that's like, that's satisfying. Go ahead and make fun of my building. I don't care. I don't care. Call it whatever you want to call it. The onion, the moth, whatever. You know where it's at. But you watch God's people grow. It's an exciting, exciting thing. The church is a miracle place because there's a bunch of imperfect people. Pastor, how many are imperfect? Every single one of them. And because we're imperfect, we have bad days. We say things we probably shouldn't say. We take offense to things we shouldn't take offense. We have to put all of that aside so that we have a healthy church. We have a healthy church. And sometimes to keep the healthy church, you got to cut the infection out. And sometimes you have to cut away so that you're healthier. That's where doctrine comes in. You have to have the right doctrine. We don't want to change everything. So just anybody and everybody feels comfortable. If they're lost, I was talking about this in the Sunday school teachers meeting. I don't want them to feel comfortable. Not that we're not accommodating, but if they're lost, they ought to feel uncomfortable when the gospel is preached. Let's make our church feel like a bar or something they might go to on Friday night so they'll feel comfortable. Why would they ever need to change? We'll mix God in there. I'm too afraid to do that. I'm too scared to do that. You know, the Bible talks about strange fire. Let's make sure we have a healthy church. Aren't you thankful you have a healthy church? Amen. Okay, how healthy are you? Do you have the infection, the corruption of bitterness growing inside you? Because if you do, let me tell you what's going to happen. It's going to get to the point where it's going to spread to somebody else. And the church you praise God for today, and by the way, get that right because I've seen this happen. It spread to somebody else, and the person who was originally bitter get it right, but the person they spread it to doesn't. And they become a tragedy because of somebody else's bitterness. Let's keep a healthy church. The way we keep a healthy church is we look at ourselves and say, I want to be a healthy Christian. I want to be a healthy church member. We've given some marks of that tonight. Father, help us to apply these things. Help us to strive to please you as a church, as individuals. Thank you for how good you've been to us. Thank you that you've given this church. This is not just what I would call a great church. I think it's the greatest church. And Father, you've been so good to us. You've blessed us. You've allowed us to be a part of your work. And may we realize it's not us. It's not even our efforts, but it's what you do through us. And may we just use this little time of reevaluation just to remind us of what is important, what makes us healthy. We don't have to sacrifice one thing for another. We can have it all. And may we just strive to please you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together, and it will be.